This is what happened where the sister was wearing the black.
Listen to what the Prophet, listen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to what Sheikh Al-Albani is saying. Any type of worship that Allah has left unrestricted, then some people come with restrictions. That's what he's saying. Either by place, time, description, or number. Stick to the principle. You see what he's saying? No. That's an example. There you go. That's an excellent example. The Jamaatul Tabligh limiting a certain time to go out and the number of days that you go out, which is 40. Restricting the going out of Dawah to 40 days. That's an excellent example. Right. All right? Okay. The next thing we wanted to mention is before we go on, this is what we wanted to do. Before we go on, can the sisters give some examples along with the brothers of bid'ah pertaining to the Quran? Any brother? We're waiting for the brothers and the sisters. Kissing the Quran, okay, what?
Reciting it out loud.
No, I don't think this is going to be considered a bid'ah. Saying, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, every time, because the person has a proof for this. Yeah, we mentioned that already. We mentioned that. We're talking about putting the Quran in a high place. If you put the Quran in a high place thinking you're going to get closer to Allah, yes. But if you put the Quran in a high place out of respect, then this is something good. No. If the person is covering the Quran with a towel or some type of special velvet cloth that they put to make a little pocket and put, you know, a shadow in La ilaha illallah or something like that and tie it up. If they do that thinking they're getting closer to Allah, then it's bid'ah. But if they don't do it thinking they're getting closer to Allah, that's why the definition of bid'ah, anything that didn't have a precedence and the person is doing it to get closer to Allah, that's why that definition is important. If they're doing it to get closer to Allah, then it becomes a bid'ah. But if they're not doing it to get closer to Allah, then it's not bid'ah. Right? No.
Making it beautified like...
Excellent, excellent. MashaAllah. That's an excellent example. Beautifying the Quran. With all those designs, the way the Qurans are now, the Prophet ﷺ said, when you see the Quran, the Mus'haf, being done to the Masahif, that's alaykum ad-damar. That means it's going to be destruction of the Muslims. Destruction of the Muslims. Look for the destruction of the Muslims when they start beautifying the Quran. All this calligraphy and all this stuff all over it. Beautiful green and gold and the pages. Now they got the words Allah in red, the word Rabb in red. When you go open to the Quran, it looks just like the Bible. The destruction of the Muslims, he said. You see this. That's a serious bid'ah. Very good, I see. Now. No, that isn't Yusuf Ali. I haven't seen a Quran yet that hasn't made him looking beautiful. I haven't seen one yet. You see some of those Qurans, the gold covers and, you know, anything else? No. No, we're talking about the Quran itself. The Quran itself, the Mus'haf. Give an example of a bid'ah. No. Yes, this is a good example. Taking the Quran and making it miniature. It's so small you can't even read it. You need one of them high-powered, you know, microscopes. You see people who have a little necklace around their necks. They put it on their baby's necks. The whole Quran, but it's so small you can't even read it. You want me to get... No.
Take it and use pieces of the Quran for evidence.
Yeah. Taking the Quran, but this is basically the same thing he said. Yeah, so I guess you can use that one. Let me give you another one that probably people are not aware of. People opening up the Quran like this and reading it and doing this. The sisters can't see it, so you have to tell the sisters doing this. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه and rocking like that. This is a bid'ah. Who does this when they read their book? The Yahud. They stand in front of the wailing wall and they do this. Yeah, they're trying to get close to him. But believe me, yeah, they're rocking because that's part of the groove, you know. They have been taught. No, they have been taught. What would make them move, Aki? They're not doing it naturally. What would make that child move? Because all children don't move. What would make that child move? Well, I mean, it's something. Walaikum salam wa rahmatullah. Huh?
He's kind of a person of bid'ah. He may move, but you know, I've never seen him move. But
The sister said bumper stickers with Quran on it or hats wearing Allah's name on them, but this is not pertaining to the actual mushaf itself and reading the Quran. Okay, let's move on, inshallah. And we want to end it, inshallah, because it's almost time to... Yes.
I wanted to ask about wearing a whole Quran for protection.
Wearing the Quran for protection is shirk.
You want to throw that shirt away now?
He's not wearing it for protection, though. He's just joking with you, man. He's joking with you, man. Okay, there is something in fiqh as a part of the Sharia called maslahatul mursala. Maybe you can write it. Someone has to get up, inshallah. Excuse me for asking you to do that, but it'll save some time. Maslahatul mursala. And we hope the sisters can see what the brothers writing on the board. Maybe you can just pull that back just a little bit so they can see it. Yeah. Now, since you wrote on the board, you have to explain what it is. Here's the microphone. Astaghfirullah. Really, astaghfirullah. I really seek of Allah forgive. Maslaha al-mursala. Al-mursala. Fima a'alam. As far as I know, maslaha. This is like something that it's supposedly something of benefit that the people can get benefit from. Maslaha al-mursala is something that a mujtahid, from what I know, he may give a ruling concerning this thing give a ruling concerning this thing, this particular thing. I'm really pulling for straws here. I kind of know, but I can't explain it. And it's something that is not a concrete, explicit delil for. And it may even seem to some people that it's bid'ah. Some people may hold it to be bid'ah. But the masalih, with the plural of maslaha, this is something that it's... This scholar, this mujtahid, he sees that there's been some benefit in it, and he makes a ruling. I don't know. I can't explain it. I mean, I've seen it in the books and read about it, but I can't explain it. I mean, is it something like that in my clothes?
That's basically what it is.
I mean, detail. I have to get a book and read it to you and translate it.
That's basically.
I'm a mutarjim, you know. I have to.
That's basically what it is. And an example of this, inshallah, is the traffic light.
the traffic light. That's an example. That's a maslahatul mursala. That's something that has been placed out there for the public welfare, of the good of the people, to prevent accidents and or death. So they place these traffic lights with the red, the green, and the yellow to prevent people from having accidents. Everybody be going, you know, riding into each other. All right? That's not founded in the Quran or the Sunnah explicitly, but implicitly it's in the Quran and the Sunnah. Like the seatbelt, you know, it's explicitly not mentioned in the Quran and Sunnah, but it's there. In terms of worship, we also find these things. Although those things are not pertaining to worship, but we find maslahatul mursala also in worship. For instance, yeah, this also could be considered something like maslahatul mursala, this microphone. Even though the ulama, they call it a wasila. They don't call it maslaha, they call it wasila. It's a wasila, which means it's a means to, it's an instrument being used, it's invented to get you to help carry out the intention of what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah or the Prophet meant. Like for instance, and when Sheikh al-Albani, hafizahullah, was asked, when somebody asked him, well, what about the microphone? We use that to call the event. Is that bid'ah? Isn't that bid'ah? And the speakers, right? So he explained, wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, and it shows how, it shows his knowledge. Because he said that he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, told Bilal, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, to stand on something high and stick his fingers in his ears, which people don't do today. A lot of people don't do it today. When they call the adhan, you see people, which is a bid'ah by the way, you see people taking one hand like this and leave the other hand to the side. Right? In addition to that, since we're on the subject, you see people putting both hands on one hand and turning to the right or turning to the left. When they say hayya ala salat, hayya ala salat, hayya ala salat to the right, hayya ala falah, hayya ala falah to the left. And Sheikh Abu Hatim, Usama al-Kusi, he brings this in his book called Kitab al-Adhan, the Book of Adhan, where he shows that none of the hadiths of turning to the right and the left are authentic. Anyway, the Sheikh says, Sheikh al-Albani, that he told Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu to stand on something high, a high place, and stick his fingers in his ears. So you know, when you stick your fingers deep into your ears, you can hardly hear yourself. So that strengthens your voice. He said, and this is the purpose of the microphone. This is the intent. This is the wasila that is actually carrying out what the Prophet intended, alayhi salatu wasalam, when he told Bilal to stand on something high, which are the speakers, and put your fingers in your ears. And he said, you still should do that. In other words, you shouldn't abandon what he told Bilal to do, just because you have the microphone. And you should stand outside. Right? Just because you have the microphone, you should stand outside. You still stand outside, because the calling of the adhan is one of the sha'air of Islam. It's one of the symbols of Islam, and the person should be not just heard, they should be seen. Okay? But we don't want to belabor this. Hold on, we don't belabor this. The point is that we want to know the difference between a maslahatul mursala and a bid'ah. Now I'd like to ask the question. Jazakumullahu khairan. Yahya, you want some?
No. Would that partition of the masjid fall into that category?
To me.
My interest in the fact is, you know,
Yeah, this probably would fall under maslahat al-mursala. But we want to ask a question now to see if your then you have your thinking kufis on. Right? What would be the proof that putting strings or tape or drawing lines, or some people who try to get slick, they buy a carpet with the lines already on it to line up the rows in the masjid is a bid'ah? Or maybe you might think it's not a bid'ah. You might say it's a maslahatul mursala, because similar to the microphone, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has ordered us to straighten our rules. He's ordered us to straighten our rules. This is a commandment, and the straightening of the salah is a part of the perfection of the straightening of the rules is a part of the perfection of the salah. So is putting the string on the floor or whatever bid'ah or maslahatul mursala? And why? And why? Give your proof. Why? That's the answer. And that's how you know the difference between a bid'ah and a maslahatul mursala. How? Listen to the principles, brothers, and we're going to end on this, sisters. Number one, if the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, had the need to do something, that's number one. If they had the need to do something, the need arose for them to do something. Number two, they had the ability to do that thing. That's number two. Number three, and they carried it out, they implemented it, then, and it had no precedent in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's number four. It had no precedent in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right? Then it is maslahatul mursala. But if the companions had the need to do something, the need had arisen for them to do something for the betterment of the ummah, and they had the ability to carry it out, and they carry it out, or they didn't carry it out, then it's bid'ah. The minarets were used in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you don't use the minaret for the reason why the Prophet used it, then it's bid'ah. Not only is it bid'ah, it is imitation of the... No, it's not imitation. It's israf. It's waste. Because the majority of the people, I remember I went to a place in Texas. The brothers invited me down, and I'm not used to staying in these real fancy hotels. I'm used to staying in somebody's house. Alhamdulillah. But they put me in this real fancy Sheraton or Hilton hotel. Right? And they showed me the itinerary. Excuse me, no, not the itinerary. But they showed me what I was going to be doing a fundraiser for. They brought me down to do a fundraiser for their masjid, to build a masjid. And they had everything beautifully typed out in the computer on, they had it itemized. And they had it in blocks. So in other words, $5,000 for this thing, if 10 people give $50, or I should say 100 people give $50, then you have that amount for that particular thing. Right? So on this piece of paper, they had, I was sitting in the hotel room talking to them, two members of the board, and it said, minaret, $20,000. Mihrab, $7,000. The tile, $6,000. The chandeliers, $15,000. The dome, $30,000. So I told them, I said, look, brothers, you paid for this plane ticket, and we didn't, you know, we shouldn't be wasting money, and I know you put a lot of effort into this, and I'm ready to raise funds for the masjid. I'm ready to do this. I'm ready to do it, but I'm very sorry. I can't raise money. I can't ask the Muslims to give their money up for these things. They said, why not? I said, because the minaret, $20,000 for the minaret, I'll do fundraising for it if you use the minaret for what it was used for in the time of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which was to go up there and call the adhan. Right? As for the mihrab, this is bid'ah, and the companions didn't stand in them. Mihrab is the niche, that thing in the wall where the imam stands today. The companions spoke out against it. They wouldn't even stand in that thing. Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu and Abdullah ibn Mas'ud and some others, they wouldn't even stand in those things. They spoke out against them. They called them madhabih. That's what they call them. Yes. Places of slaughtering. That's what they call them. Right? And I told them the dome. The dome is bid'ah. Can't have a dome. Right? And the chandeliers, this is a waste of money. Take all that money that you, if you add this up, come up by $75,000. You can expand the bathrooms, build a Muslim school, do all kinds of stuff. The point is that if the companions had a need to do something, and they had the ability to carry it out, and they implemented that thing, even though the Prophet never did it, and they all agreed on doing it, then it's maslahatul mursala. But if they had the need to do something, and the ability to do it, to carry it out, and it wasn't done in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they agreed not to do it, and it's done today, it's bid'ah. So putting the strings on the floor is an innovation. Because they had the need to straighten the rows. The Muslims after the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became larger in number, which is even more of a need, because you can't, the imam can't go back to 100 rows and check all the rows. That's his duty. Right? There's too many people. How is the imam going to check the rows of the Prophet's masjid? You got 150, 200, 300, 500, 900 rows. Thousands and thousands of people. How are they going to check the rules? Alright? So they'll say, let's put some string on the floor. Let's put some tape on the floor. No. The companions had a similar situation. They didn't put it on the floor. What they did was they sent somebody back there to check the rules for them. And they wouldn't start the salat until that was done. So the reason why we're presenting this is that so we won't be so quick to say something that's bid'ah. Putting the Quran between two covers, which wasn't done in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was a need to do it. They had the ability to do it for the public welfare. Right? It wasn't done in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And they agreed on it. Then it's not bid'ah. It's maslaha al-mursala. Alright? And that's why you can't deviate from the way of the Sahaba and the Tabi'un and the Tabi'in. That's why this Dawah of Salafiyah is so important. That's what separates the Muslims who follow that way from everybody else. Because once you divorce yourself from the Sahaba, you won't know how to implement Islam properly. You won't know. You'll start listening to Sayyid Qutb, you'll start listening to Maldudi, you'll start listening to all these other people who deviated. I didn't say they were deviants. They deviated from the path in certain aspects, especially political affairs. Especially the political affairs. And you cannot take your head, you cannot get a khula from the Sahaba for anything in Islam. That's why the books of Athar are important. The books of Ibn Abi Shayba, the Musannaf, the books of Abdul Razak, the Musannaf of Abdul Razak, the Muwatta of Imam Malik, the Tamheed by Ibn Abdul Barr, Sharh Ma'an al-Athar by Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi. You have to read those books to see how the companions lived and practiced Islam after the death of the Prophet. Or you're going to be lost as a community, because the Prophet is only our example as an individual. He's the example for you as an individual. Now how are you going to run your community now? He's not the example for as a community. He's only one human being. How are you going to know how to run your community? The only way you're going to know is look at the Sunnah. That's the only way. And once you deviate from them in your economic affairs or your political affairs or your social affairs or anything else, you will be running the risk of going into bid'ah. You'll run the risk. And that's why that hadith that we mentioned this morning, early this morning, is so important. An-nujumu amanatun lis-sama, that the stars are the security guards for the heavens. فَإِذَا ذَهَبَتْ النُّجُومُ أَتَى السَّمَاءَ مَا تُوعَدْ. When the stars leave, then that which is promised to the heavens will occur. وَأَنَا أَمَنَةٌ لِأَصْحَابِي. And I, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I am the security guard for my Sahaba. فَإِذَا ذَهَبْتُ أَتَى أَصْحَابِي مَا يُوعَدُونَ. When I leave, that which is promised my Sahaba is going to occur to them. Wa ashabi amanatun lil ummah, or li ummati, and my Sahaba are the security guards for my ummah. فَإِذَا ذَهَبَ أَصْحَابِي أَتَى أُمَّتِي مَا يُوعَدُونَ. When the Sahaba leaves, that which is promised and written in Lawh Mahfuz is going to occur to my ummah. The Sahaba are the security guards for this ummah. We want to know how to run our affairs? You have to go back to the Salaf. Say what they said. Don't say what they didn't say. Refrain from where they refrained, and you'll be safe. If not, you deserve to go to hell. Because that's what's going to happen. That's what the Prophet said. You deviate from the way of the believers, you go into hell. That's what Allah and the Prophet said. And you deserve it. Anybody who gives a khula, asks for a khula from the Sahaba and the Tabi'un who followed them in righteousness in the third generation, you deserve to go to hell. Because Allah doesn't give you anything unless you deserve it. Now, so صلح به أولها. No, that this ummah won't have restoration, reparation, correction, success. They won't have it. The end of this ummah won't have any of those things until they use what those people used to get that from the first part of this ummah. That's why I said this morning, you can't go forward. People saying we need to go forward. The Muslims need to go forward. They need to go on. They need to go forward. We need to progress. You can't have progress until you digress. In order for you to go forward, you got to go backwards. What do we mean? You have to go back to the Salaf to see what they did in order for you to go forward. Because in them, in their examples is the best example. That's the saving force for us. So we're going to end it here, inshallah. And we're going to end it here, inshallah. We intended to talk about the aspect of bid'ah when people have good intentions. People who have good intentions. And we have a couple of examples, but we don't have time now, inshallah. So are there any questions about this? No questions? No.
No, no, no.
The brother's asking for the hadith that says sticking your fingers in your ears when you call the adhan. He told Bilal to do this. You can find it in the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and you can also find it, inshallah, inshallah, you can find it in Sharh Ma'an al-Athar by Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi al-Hanafi. Sharh Ma'an al-Athar. The same scholar, Imam Abu Ja'far al-Tahawi, who wrote the book called Al-Aqidat al-Tahawiyyah.
You mentioned earlier that the Adhan is open signs of Islam.
Yes.
Would the minaret be considered the same?
The minaret is going to be one of the open symbols of Islam if it's being used for that purpose. But as one brother in Virginia, when he had $70,000 of his money, his personal money, that he wanted to donate for the masjid, he told them that he wasn't going to donate to the masjid unless they make it look like a masjid. What he meant by look like a masjid was minarets, domes, and a mihrab with chandeliers, with calligraphy all over inside of the masjid.
You
didn't
No.
You said it was proof against turning to the right level.
Sheikh Osama Al-Kusi said there's no authentic hadith. He brings the whole chain of all the hadiths in existence. Allah knows best. All the hadiths have turned to the right and the left. None of them are authentic. All the chains are weak.
And also, who was the narrator by when Muhammad ibn Islam told Bilal?
Who was the narrator? The person who had the dream. No.
So you keep your head straight when you say hayya salah, hayya salah.
You turn your body slightly. Your head slightly, but you don't turn your actual body all the way to the right like people do. It's just a torso. You don't actually turn the whole body to the right and turn the body to the left when you say Hayya ala salah. That's the point. There's proof that you turn, but there's no proof that you turn when you say Hayya ala salah and Hayya ala falah. That's where the hadiths are weak. And this is something, brothers, listen to this. I don't know if the sisters are listening anymore. I don't know. I think they're doing their own thing now. But this is something that's really important. Sometimes we find things that are not authentic. Portions of it is authentic and portions of it is not. Like, for instance, what do we say when we look in the mirror? What's the dua? We'll say the name. Yes, Allah, as you have made me well in appearance, make me good in morals. Now, this hadith that says to say that is authentic until you get to the point where it says that the Prophet said it in the mirror. There's no authentic hadith for saying that dua in the mirror. But there is hadith of the Prophet looking in the mirror, and there is hadith of the Prophet making that statement, but there's no authentic hadith of both of them together. Alright? So there's a lot of examples like this. When you walk into the masjid, what foot do you come in with first? The right. What foot do you walk out with? Left. When you walk into the bathroom, what foot do you walk in with first? Where's your proof? Where's the proof of going in the bathroom with your left foot? There's no hadith for this. This is not from the Prophet. This is not from the Sahaba. It's not from the Tabi'un. It's not from the Tabi'in. But they use what the ulama of Ahl al-Sunnah use. They use analogy. They use analogy. Do we say now that it's not permissible to do that? No, they agree on it. They say, okay, yeah, this is a good thing. Because the Prophet liked to do things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the right. And see, and he comes in the masjid, you step with your right foot, so it's on the bathroom. But you can't impose that on your children. And you can't impose that on your family members, saying you have to go into the bathroom with your left foot. Because if you do that, now you're making a hukum that you don't have a proof for. That's the way of this da'wah. This da'wah, we don't care who it is, you've got to have a proof. You have to have a proof. Or the agreement of the people of the past or the scholars who follow them today. So with that, inshallah, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and have mercy on us. And we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have one more left. That's at what? After Salatul Maghrib, 9:15 to 10 o'clock. You think it's necessary?
No.
You should stop. No. No. I don't know if I'm ready to do that. All right. If there's no questions, we're going to end it here, inshallah. And unfortunately, we didn't get the test. We didn't get to have the test. Inshallah, we'll catch it next time. Inshallah ta'ala. No, open form. Yeah, open form. Hmm? What time? She's right there. But let me just, I just want to reemphasize, brothers, we have to be very careful calling things bid'ah. Don't be so quick to call things bid'ah, all right? Try to refrain from calling everything you see that you think contradicts the Quran and the Sunnah bid'ah, because it might be the Sunnah. You hear me, brothers? It might be the Sunnah, so don't be too quick to say something is bid'ah. It takes knowledge to say something is bid'ah. All right? And with that, no.
Those brothers
who
Muslims that's on a different
Minhaj.
Could you pray with them? I mean, say, you know, I'm just saying, if you're going to Jummah or something,
leaving your job to go to work, I mean go to Juma, or say the masjid was close to your house and you want to go to Mixalat, would you pray with?
It depends on, that's a long topic. Depends on who you're talking about.
Well, I'm not talking about firefighters.
Yeah, because they're not Muslims.
No, I'm talking about Muslims.
We don't want to call names, but we just want to say that it depends on whom you're talking about.
Yeah.
If you should pray, if you can pray with them or not. Because in general, you can pray with the Muslims. The Muslims are the Muslims, in general. Allah
Inshallah, we'll continue after Salatul Maghrib, inshallah, give people time to make their sunnah prayers, inshallah, and then we'll continue after that. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.